Good morning to everyone. Today is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, and we have also the feast of the decapitation of St. John the Baptist, which is overshadowed by the Sunday today. The epistle for today, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, to Abraham were the promises made, and to his seed. He saith not unto his seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, that the testament which was confirmed by God, the law which was made after 430 years, doth not annul, so as to make void the promise. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why then was the law? It was set because of transgressions, until the seed should come to whom he made the promise, being ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Was the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could give life, verily justice should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain town, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Whom when he saw, said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were made clean. And one of them, when he saw that he was made clean, went back with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell on his face before his feet, giving thanks. And this was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not 10 made clean? And where are the 9? There is no one found to return and give glory to God but this stranger. And he said to him, Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, the words at the end of the Gospel from our Lord to the Samaritan who was a leper and was healed, came back to give thanks. He said, Thy faith hath made thee whole. That is what makes all of us, if we are whole, that's what makes us whole. It is the Roman Catholic faith, without which we are never complete. It's an interesting phenomenon when Archbishop Lefebvre made notice of it when he was in Africa, that everything about the children changed after they were baptized. There was a striking difference. There was visible, tangible difference between the baptized children and the unbaptized. Because when we are baptized, as you know, original sin is washed away and grace is given to the soul. And with that grace, the infused virtue of faith. Even though the child does not know the faith, that virtue is infused in the child when it's baptized. And in these cases, they could see a difference in the child. And if you line them all up together, you could almost sort them out and say, this one was baptized, but that one wasn't. Around in the United States, where most people are baptized, you can hardly tell the difference. But in Africa, you could. Probably because even the baptized have fallen from grace in many cases, you know, and lost the faith. So the epistle today reminds us of the two things which God gave us. He gave us the law, or the Ten Commandments, and gave that to Moses. But 430 years prior to that, he promised Abraham, the Redeemer, was to be from one of his children. So Jesus was descended from Abraham. And St. Paul points out very clearly that justification and salvation is from the promises that were made by God, and not just from the laws that God gave us. The law does not save us of itself. It does not mean we don't need the Ten Commandments. Yes, we need them. We have to obey them. But that is not the part that saves us by itself. It can't. We must be saved by the promise which God made. And we look a little bit into this teaching of St. Paul, and see that what he's telling us is that there's no way that we deserve to be saved by our own works alone. Yes, we must do the good works, but we cannot be saved by good works without God's promises. And he promised heaven to those that love and obey him in this world until death. And if we love and obey him in this world until death, then we will be saved. But it is because he promised it, not because we really deserved it of our own works. None of us can merit heaven unless God had promised it to those who love and obey him. So we have also then, moving on a little bit to something that's very modern and found within traditional circles. We have this erroneous faith of the Fenians. And I mention them not because we have any hate for these people, but because of their error, and we must not fall into the same error ourselves. They're good-hearted people for the most part, just like the rest of us. Well, more or less, you know. Their error is to attach so much importance to the sacrament of baptism as to make God obliged to it, so that God could not save anybody unless they have the sacrament of baptism. And, you know, they're arguing from the teaching of the church that there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. Well, that's true. There is no salvation outside the Catholic Church. Anybody who's going to be saved has to be saved by his membership in the Christ Church, and that has to do with the doctrine of the mystical body of Christ. Only one who will ascend back to heaven is the one who came down from heaven, the second person, Jesus Christ. And if anyone else goes to heaven, it's because they are one with him, united to him by faith, hope, and charity, and by sanctifying grace. And they can only be united to him in these things if they're members of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the Fenians say that no one is a member unless he's received the sacrament of baptism. Well, typically, we're not members unless we've received the sacrament of baptism. That's the rule. To join the church, if you're an adult, you study the faith, and then you're baptized. And on the day you're baptized, you're officially recognized as a member, card-carrying member of the Catholic Church. And you have a certificate which testifies to the fact that you joined the church and were baptized. And for babies, they don't have to study first because they're not able. So they're baptized and they're obliged to study afterwards. And that's why we have to have a guarantee that the child will be raised Catholic. We don't baptize babies who are not to be raised Catholic. We have to have someone, their parents first of all, and their godparents as emergency backup system in case the parents are not doing it. So the child is officially received in the church or an adult when they're baptized. However, that is according to law. What about the promise? That if we love and obey God in this world, we can be saved. We'll go to heaven. This is true. And of course, by obedience to God, we have to be baptized. But there are rare cases in which a person wants to be baptized, but through no fault of his own, he dies before it happens. And he's been doing what he should do. He's not delaying it or refusing it. But he's on track to be baptized, getting ready for it. And he's loving and obeying God. Insofar as is he able at that moment, because he's, you know, if it's an adult especially, well, children cannot have baptism of desire because they don't know what it is, and neither can they desire it. Right? But an adult could desire it, even if he hasn't received it. And so the person who is preparing for baptism and receiving into the Catholic Church, this person is already a member of the Catholic Church by his desire to be a member of the Catholic Church. And that's the teaching of the Church on down through the ages, ever since the very earliest one who spoke and wrote about no salvation outside the Church, which was Saint Cyprian. Saint Cyprian, he said that no one can be saved outside the Catholic Church, and to belong to the Church, one must be baptized, or to have the desire of being baptized. Of course, someone who just says, okay, I'm going to desire it, but I'm not going to do it. Well, this one doesn't really desire it. Right? But the one who is ready to follow through, this one does genuinely desire. And he can receive grace from God before he receives the sacrament. Now, these cases are rare, but the Fenians refuse that it can ever happen that way. And so they have an error, according to the faith, and they are more like the Pharisees, who insist on the law, which is right, we have to insist on the law, but they refuse the fact that God has promised salvation to those who love and obey him in this world. And so they say that they're not members of the church unless water has touched their head in the sacrament of baptism and flowed. Well, that's not so. An adult can have a desire of baptism, knowing what it is and wishing to do it. And we see in the gospel the story of the 10 lepers. They had leprosy. Leprosy is not known well today because it's rare now. And a lot of it was due to bad hygiene and so on. There are still lepers in the world, not many, but there are. And it's a disease where the flesh and the skin just rots away. And so the people look very ugly and disfigured when it gets advanced on them. And it turns the skin different colors. And when someone is cured from leprosy, the gospel says it's a cleansing. Notice that it came to pass that as they went, they were made clean. In other words, their leprosy was cured, but they call it made clean. And when Jesus heard them pleading for mercy, he told them, he had pity on them and said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now this is a reflection of our sacrament of confession. When you go into that confession, you bear your soul and you show it to the priest. And then he cleanses your soul, and it's made clean. Now notice that these 10 men, it says, that as they went, they were made clean. They were not at the priest's. They had not found the priest yet, but they were on the way there. Jesus told them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they began to go to the priest. And on their way to the priest, they were made clean. Because, you see, they were willing to do what the law required. They were willing to oblige themselves to obey the law. And their desire to go to the priest and be made clean was enough for God. It does not mean they were not obliged anymore to go on to him, to see the priest. But you see, they were made clean before they got there. And the church is also always taught that even a person with mortal sins is made clean by perfect contrition. Perfect contrition includes an act of love for God, and their love cannot be in their heart. Love for God cannot exist at the same time as a mortal sin in one heart. It excludes the sin. It's genuine repentance. And God forgives that person immediately. Well, they still have to go to confession, darn it. But, you know, they are already forgiven before their confession. And this is depicted in the fact that these men were made clean from their leprosy before they even finished doing what they were told to go and do. Before. And it shows also that those who desire to be members of the church, God admits them even before they do it by being baptized. And they're called members in desire. They do not have the character of the sacrament in their souls, the indelible character which is given in only three sacraments. It's given. There's one given for baptism, one for holy orders, and one for confirmation. Each one of those has an indelible character. The indelible character of baptism is not given to the one who is not baptized by the sacrament of baptism, but he still receives the grace that is given by baptism, even though the character is not imprinted on him. And so we have a great lesson to learn today, to see that God is not bound by his laws that bind us. And he can give grace to those who love and are willing to obey him and repent of their sins. And he does. Because he loves us. Every one of us. Even the worst sinner out here. He loves with a great love that we can never imagine. So today we have this big lesson to see how one of them was grateful. One out of 10. And it's kind of illustrative of the fact that not many of us have enough gratitude for all that God has given to us, for all that He does for us. We do not appreciate as we should. The goodness of our God and His great love for each one of us. And this one leper who went back and gave thanks, it's a lesson for us to always, even if we don't feel grateful, to always give thanks to God for all of the good things that He has done and does do for us every day. The old saying, you should count your blessings and be grateful to God for each one of them. That's very good, because Jesus was pleased by this one leper who gave thanks, and He'll be pleased by you. Each time you render Him thanks for His gifts and for His love. And of course, even for the hard things in life, we must thank Him, because they only come to us as a tool to become holy or holier. And that's the only reason He allows us to suffer anything bad, so that we'll have some occasion to practice a virtue, especially that of patience and of faith that God still cares when things aren't going perfectly, and to trust God. It says that on our money, you know. Even in bad economic times, they don't take it off the money. It still says, in God we trust, even when we're broke, right? Don't have any money. So let us be very grateful to God. And remember that He loves all of us. And just as much as He loves you, just as much as He loves your neighbor. And it's an immeasurable and great love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.